Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Bless you for being here. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we are here gathered in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come seeking to hear from you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word that you've so graciously given. You've preserved it for us. And Lord, you also speak into our everyday lives. And I pray this morning that as we spend this time looking at your word, as we spend this time preaching, that you would minister to the needs that are in all of our hearts. Oh God, I pray that you would just bring an awareness of your voice to us. Help us to know the voice of our shepherd. Lord, I pray that we could have a close relationship with you, that we could walk with you, that we could know you. So Lord, this morning we commit this time that we have into your hands. We pray that you would be honored and glorified. We pray that you would draw men to yourself. Pray that you would bring conviction upon hearts that are wandered away from you, maybe hearts that have never known you. Bring conviction. Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I have a very simple title. The Voice of God. The Voice of God. The last time I shared here, I spoke about faith. I would say this sermon this morning is very closely connected to that. To faith, what does it mean to have faith? This morning I just want to make us more mindful of the voice of God and make us appreciate the Word of God more. Everything that we experience in our Christian life, I would say, starts by hearing the voice of God. That's where it starts. True faith starts by hearing the Word of God. I want to make us more aware of different ways that God speaks. We'll be looking at a number of different scriptures in the Bible, different places that God spoke. There's different ways that God speaks to us today. We know there's a lot of confusion on this subject. People think they're hearing from God and they're not actually hearing from God. I'm sure all of us have heard people say that, you know, God showed me something and it directly goes against what is in the Word of God. We know people like that. And we could ask the question, why is it so hard to understand or to know when God is talking to us? Why is that so hard? God is all powerful. God is here. He's here this morning. Why is it so hard for us to hear and to know when God speaks? I would say a lot of that is simply connected to us living in this body of flesh. And then there's lots of things that come out of that: selfishness, pride, different things that hinder us from truly hearing the Word of God. But when we come to God in faith, in repentance, in turning away from our own sin, God can speak to us in a clear and meaningful way. Hearing the voice of God is a very important part of being connected to God. even as an example, that even in our relationships here, our family, what if my wife and I just wouldn't speak for a year? She wouldn't hear my voice for a year. Would she feel close to me? Would she know where things are at? No. Hearing the voice of God is very important in being connected to Him. And this morning, most of what I'm going to be sharing is for people who are converted, who are walking with God, who have been born again. And just a reminder of not letting the things of this life choke out the Word. Taking time to be alone with God, the quietness, away from everything else, just hearing, praying, reading the Word. And when God opens the Word and He shows us things out of us, and there's that connection with God. Something I just want to make you mindful of the importance of that. And I don't know where you're at this morning with that. Sometimes it life is very real, and there's lots of things that are trying to get our attention, and there's responsibilities. But I just want to lift this up, this importance of us just hearing from God. Hearing from God is also a part of being under the lordship and the authority of Jesus Christ. When we repent of our sins and we turn to God and we put ourselves under His lordship, we are opening ourselves up to hear His voice and to follow His voice. It's a very, very important. After a bit here, we'll read in John, the Good Shepherd. We hear the voice of God. We recognize it. We follow. Another way that God talks to us, sometimes God impresses something on our mind, our heart, a burden of something that we ought to be doing, that something that we should say. Important to us that when we hear that, when we feel that within our heart, that we obey, that we follow through with it. Say sometimes we don't necessarily even think of it in that moment as being the Word of God. Sometimes just something, a burden that you get to do something. One example of that is some years ago I was driving down the road between Ragersville and Stone Creek, coming through there, and I came across a farm there, and there was a wagon and a tractor standing outside the barn. The wagon was full of hay, and I saw this grandma out on the hay wagon trying to unload the hay. And then I saw like a elevator going up into the barn, and I drove past, and something started stirring in my heart, and it's a little uncomfortable, you know. What do you do? So I ended up turning around, going back, and stopping, and asked them if they could use help. And so then the husband comes out of the barn, and it turns out that they were just ready to start unloading there. It turns out there was a pastor from the Moravian Church down close to New Philly, and his wife was actually sick, but they needed two people to unload this hay, and so she was going to help. And, it took 15 minutes. I helped them unload, and But that is just an example of God putting something on our heart, hearing the voice of God, and we follow through that. They actually asked me, are you an angel? Like, no, I'm very far from an angel. But God knew their need, and God spoke to me and allowed me to fulfill that. I think it's important in our everyday life that we are open to that, that there's needs all around us. And rather than just brushing off those feelings, I've done that too in the past, when you feel like there's something that you should do and you just kind of brush it off and go on. Let's not do that. Let's hear the voice of God. God also gives us a warning sometimes about things that are negative or wrong. There's times where things come into your life and all at once there's something within you that, you know what, you maybe not even be able to put it into words why you don't feel like you should do that or whatever. But there's something within you saying, stop. Voice of God also reminds us of sin. There's times when we do something we shouldn't, and the voice of God is there telling us what you did there, what you said there, your attitude, what was in your heart that's wrong. It's very dangerous for us to push away the voice of God, because we'll end up at a very wrong place if we do that. How do we know that it's the voice of God? The first thing I would say is it needs to line up with the Bible. If there's things that voices that are speaking to our life that don't line up with the Bible, it's should be an immediate sign to us that it's not from God. We need to have a humility before God. Humility before other people. God has put other people right around us that are walking with Him, and we need to have a humility that when God uses them to speak into our life, to be open to that. We need to have a meekness. I would say one of the main attributes of having meekness in our life is when we are simply, as Moses was, Lord, what do I do? That should be our everyday walk. Lord, what would you have me to do? It's meekness. Asking God for direction. All right, turn with me to John chapter 10. We'll start off by reading John chapter 10, verse 1 through 18. Very well-known passage here. We call it the passage of the Good Shepherd. It's one of the very beautiful pictures of how Jesus walks with us and is with us every step of the way, every day. We here in America, we often get kind of a wrong picture of what a shepherd is, or not the most clear picture. A shepherd is very different from a farmer. Farmer builds a fence around a pasture and he turns the sheep loose into it. It's a farmer. It's not a shepherd. A shepherd is someone who actually is out there with the sheep day after day and walking with the sheep and supplying their needs and protecting. Let's start reading in John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Jesus was here in this verse making it very clear that he is actually the one that is coming in by the door. He's the one that is coming. He's fulfilling the prophecies. He's the one that is coming in the way that God set up for him to come. It says there's people who are going to come into the sheepfold and they're going to climb in some other way. There's someone who is not the shepherd. They're a thief and a robber. And even in our everyday life, it's a warning for us when we are looking for the shepherd. There's a certain ways that God comes to us. He always comes by the door. Verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee for him, for they know not the voice of strangers. His parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So Jesus spoke this parable to this people, and they knew what a shepherd was, they knew what a sheepfold was, and yet they were not able to put that in connection to God. They weren't able to fit this all. What is he actually trying to tell us? Like, we know what a shepherd is, but like, what are you really trying to tell us? But in here we see a very beautiful picture of God being our shepherd, Jesus being our shepherd. I don't know if there's anyone here this morning who's facing any struggles. And you're like, where is Jesus? I don't know where he's at. I don't feel his presence. Here it says that he is with us. Where the sheep are, that's where Jesus is. And he leads us and he goes with us wherever we go. And I think it's just a comfort for us to know that. Again, it brings this idea in of a stranger, and it says that the sheep will not follow him. And I just want to ask this, how are you doing this morning? Are you truly following the voice of the shepherd, or is when there are other voices coming and trying to speak into our life, do we actually follow them? The way that he's saying that it should be is that when we hear the voice of a stranger, that we flee away from that. We don't hear that. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. This verse specifically, he's referring to the fact that there are many people who had professed to be the Messiah, and they would come. And Jesus said that the true sheep, the ones who were actually having this connection with God, when these other messiahs would come, they didn't hear him. They fled away from them. The people who were not actually sheep, when they heard these false messiahs come, they would follow them. And even as we look at where this world is going, and we read prophecies of Antichrist, and there's Antichrist already in this world, and maybe sometime in the future there'll be a greater measure of that. But it's very important that we know the voice of the shepherd, and that when there's anything else that doesn't line up with the voice of the shepherd, that we flee away from that. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, Jesus is the only way that we can have salvation. How do we enter into Jesus? There's only one way, by faith. When we hear the voice of God and we receive it and we believe it and we let it actually come into our heart and life, that's faith. And then there's the repentance where we turn away from sin, we turn away from our own way, turn away from sins that we have committed. turn away from selfishness, and we receive the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and rather than doing our own thing, we are now doing what He wants us to do. And when we do that, He will come in and He will wash our sins away. He'll give us a peace and a grace upon our heart. We can go to church all our life. There's lots of things that we can do that are very good. But unless we have that faith, that believing, that receiving the Word of God, and that repentance from sin, and then Jesus comes in and washes us, takes those sins away, we are not a sheep. That's the only way to become a sheep. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, sometimes when we hear the voice of the enemy, it's hard to really see the end result of it. But the end result of everything that the enemy is doing is actually to kill and to destroy. That's what he's wanting to do in every one of our lives. He comes as an angel of light. But we need to resist that. We need to flee from that. Because he is actually there to kill and to destroy. Jesus has come so that we might have life. That we might be alive. That we wouldn't be dead. We wouldn't be dead in sins. But that we'd be alive. And then it says that we'd be alive more abundantly. There should be an overflowing of the life of Christ coming out of us. That's what he came for. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And here we see the love of God. The love of God that he has for every one of us. And we just need to be reminded of that this morning, that God loves every one of us. And he actually is willing to lay down his life for us. Every one of us. He paid the price for our sins. So that we could be washed and restored. That we could be free from sin and have fellowship with him. Verse 16, another sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now remember, these words were spoken before he was crucified, and there's a sense when the soldiers came to take Jesus, it would be easy for people to think that God is no longer in control here, that Jesus isn't in control. But he spoke these words so that everybody might clearly know that he is actually in charge. He's the one who's giving his life. They didn't just come and take him without his permission, without his authority. But he laid it down of his own will. All right, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 19. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Is procrastination hardening our heart? We hear the word of God and we have plans to do it, but we're not today. Is that hardening our hearts? I believe it is. I believe it is. We should, when we hear the voice of God, we hear the word of God, we should be right there with him to do what he's saying. In this place, he's calling men to repentance. In the Bible, in Exodus, we have a very extreme example of a person hardening his heart. And we have the story of the Exodus when Moses came before Pharaoh and he would tell him, "Let my people go." And if you read through that passage, there's times when it says that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then there's times when it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And I'd like to put this picture out of what does it mean for a hardened heart. I think a good example of that is light and darkness. Now, we know that light is actually something physical, but darkness isn't. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Like, we have the lights on here. There's nobody that can bring some darkness in here and just bring it into this room. It's impossible. But darkness happens when light moves out. And I believe in the same way our hearts are hardened when we hear the word of God and we back away from it. And there's a sense when we hear the word of God, we don't receive it. We're pushing him out. And when we push God away from us, it brings a hardness on our hearts. And then there's also the time when God himself will even remove back further from us. And that hardens us even more. That's a very dangerous place for us to be in. Please do not harden your heart. When you hear the voice of God, receive it into your life with meekness, with humility. Don't push God away from you. When you hear the voice of God, consider it something that's very precious, something that is a great gift of God to you. Let's keep reading here. Verse 9. "When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." It gives this idea of them tempting God, proving God, and it was this thing where they didn't fully trust God, and so they would call upon God, and then they'd be, again, be murmuring and complaining and rebelling, and they were just going back and forth. And there came a time when God said, "All right, I will pull back myself." And it says that he, let me read this, "I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest." The time when God said they will not enter into the land of Canaan. And according to the exhortation that he's giving us here in this passage, there can be a time for us when we push away the word of God and we resist and we provoke God to a place where he actually draws back and says, "All right, you will not enter into rest." A very serious thing. Verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." In here it says that unbelief is departing from the living God. Now, I know it's fairly common for people to struggle with unbelief. And we think of it as a weakness. There's just a weakness in my heart that I have unbelief there. According to this verse, there's actually when you do that, there's a departing away from God rather than a humbling yourself before God and saying, God, what does your word say? And then receiving it and following after that. When you have unbelief in your heart, you're actually pushing God away. It's a very dangerous thing. We shouldn't just look at it as something, the struggle that I have of unbelief. But we need to sit up and say, Lord, what do you have for me? What does your word say? I want to receive that. I want to have that a part of my life. I want to experience what you say for me. Verse 13, exhort one another daily while it is called the day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In here, it gives a warning that sin is actually deceitfulness. And when we walk in sin, there's a deception that comes upon our life, and there's a darkness that comes that we're not able to see clearly anymore. Continued walk in sin will bring that. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Unbelief. And they provoke God by it. Unbelief is a very dangerous thing. It provokes God. There's a sense when we have unbelief that we're actually calling God a liar. Saying that, yes, your word says this, but I don't believe it, I don't receive it. It's calling God a liar. Verse 16, for some when they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. In their particular situation of unbelief, God was actually calling them to a very difficult work of going into the land of Canaan and taking it over. It was a very hard job. And yet God said, I will give it to you. Yes, you will have to fight, but I will be with you and I will give you victory. In our own lives, there's sometimes things that God calls us to and we know it's hard. It's hard work. This is not just a 30-second decision that I make in my heart. But there's something that God is calling me to, and it'll take a lot of effort on my part to follow through with it. But God will be there, and he will give grace. We cannot have unbelief in our heart and walk away from it. All right, let's turn to Exodus. We'll talk a little bit about, specifically about the voice of God and how it came to different people. In this, I want you to see that it's not how the voice of God comes to us that makes it easy or hard to believe and to obey. In this passage here in Exodus chapter 19, when they were all gathered at Mount Sinai, and God was going to come down in a physical way, you think it'd be very easy for them to have faith and to believe and to obey, right? And if we would have made an announcement last Sunday that, okay, this coming week, All meet over here at the certain hill, and God is going to come down. He's going to come down in fire and a thick cloud, and there's going to be lightning, and God's going to speak to every one of us here, and he's going to tell us exactly what he wants of us. We think, oh, wow, now that would be easy to hear the voice of God and to believe. Right? I tend to think that way, maybe. We think that the reason that we struggle with unbelief is because it's not clear enough, or somehow God hasn't spoken loud enough, or I just don't know for sure that he was talking to me. Let's look what happened in this passage. Exodus 19, verse 16 to 20. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. That's a scene that is very hard for us to even imagine. Now, I've had the privilege of actually going over there to Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia and standing there and looking up at the Mount of God where all this happened. But the scene here was God actually coming down and meeting with his people. There's thunders, lightning, a thick cloud came down. They couldn't see the top of the mountain. And then it says, the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people trembled. They all knew that they were going to hear from God. Verse 19, when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. This people all there in expectation, the trumpet is louder and louder. And it says, finally, Moses spake. And God answered him by a voice. It almost seems like, you know, everything was getting louder and louder, and finally Moses almost couldn't handle it anymore, and so he spoke. It doesn't say what he said, but he spoke to God, and God answered him by a voice. Verse 20, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mountain, and the Lord called up Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Chapter 20, verse 18 through 22. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Now ask the question, what was the difference between Moses and the rest of the people, the children of Israel? What was the difference? What made it so that Moses was there and he was wanting to hear from God, but what was it that made the rest of the people be scared? I think it was the condition of their heart, or something different about Moses and the rest of the people. Ask us this morning, what is your heart? Do you love to hear the word of God? Is it alive and powerful in your heart, or is it something that when you hear the word of God, that there's just something that you kind of push back on it? Verse 20, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And Moses stood afar off, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Deuteronomy chapter 4, we'll read verse 29 through 37. This was toward the end of the life of Moses and he gathered the people back together, and he reminded them of this event. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 through 37. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he spake unto them. For ask now of the days that are past which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there had been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like of it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God assuaged to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm? And by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire. And thou heardst his voice out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 through 19. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him shalt thou hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise thee up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Here he's saying that when the people of Israel were there in that situation at Mount Sinai, they said that the voice of God is so mighty and so powerful and so terrifying that we don't want to hear it. Speak in a more gentle way. Speak in a more easier to relate to way. Because they were scared. And here in Deuteronomy, there's a prophecy of Jesus coming. And we see, we're going to read some more verses here about how when Jesus came, how he came. But the point I like to bring here is that the people at that point didn't want to hear the word of God because he was there in so much power and glory and all these different signs. And so Jesus or God gave them this prophet: there's a time coming when I will raise up a prophet and I will speak through him in a very gentle way, a very different way from Mount Sinai. And when Jesus came in a very gentle way, did the people want to receive his word then? No. They didn't want to. Why? Because of the condition of their heart. Because of darkness and sin in their heart. You see these two contrasts. The one, when God came down with all this power and authority, and the next, he came in a very simple way, and he spoke the word of God, and he was the word of God. And again, they didn't want to hear it. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. He refers to this prophecy here. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many of his spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God hath made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And here he's making this connection of this prophet. It was Jesus that was prophesied. And he said that Jesus will come as a man, and he will speak the word of God, and you'll be responsible for that. It's a very, very strong warning that he said that if you do not hear the voice of Jesus, if you do not hear that, there'll be a punishment that comes with that. All right, turn to John chapter 1. We'll read verse 1 through 17. Very familiar words, but I want you to get this picture of how God sent his word to us. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Godhead to us is something that is hard to comprehend, hard to explain, hard to grasp. There's a call it a Trinity. There's different words that we might use, but there's God the Father, there's God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in here he's saying that Jesus was the Word of God. That when God spoke at creation and said, let there be light, there was something that came out of the mouth of God and went and actually created. That was the Word of God. And he's saying now, in these times, the Word of God has come down and he's become flesh. That Word that created, that Word that went out from God and made different things to happen, that Word has now come down and is wrapped in human flesh, and he walks among us. That's the Word of God. We also know him as Jesus. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It's a beautiful picture. Jesus is the one that lighteth us. He brings a light into our hearts, into our lives. Where before there was darkness and sin, when we got born again by the Spirit of God, when the Spirit came down and actually changed our hearts, he put a light within us. It's very beautiful. It was the true light. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Exact same response that God got when he spoke at Mount Sinai to the people. Very same response. Why? Because of the condition of their heart. Because there was sin there. The people loved darkness rather than light. For us to be walking with the Word and to hear the voice of God in our everyday life and have that peace and joy that comes from that relationship with Him, we have to love truth. We have to love the light. We have to be willing to let go of our sin, be willing to let go of all that darkness. Verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The verse makes it very clear that to be born of the Spirit of God is not a work. It's not something that we can do. We cannot make ourselves born again. We cannot have, we just simply can't make that happen. But when we come to Him, He can come and do that within our hearts. We have a responsibility of repentance and faith toward Him. That is our responsibility. But then He follows through and makes that to actually happen into our life. There's many people who are in churches today who've never been actually born of the Spirit of God. They've done different things, possibly even been baptized, followed a lot of the teachings of the Bible, but the Spirit of God has never come in and made them a different person. It's something that we need to bring ourselves before God. God calls us and then we respond to that, and then He makes us a new person. Born of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's amazing, the disciples, they were the ones that were there with Him. They received Him, they believed Him, and they were the ones who saw the glory of Jesus. But the people who rejected Him, they didn't see that glory. They counted Jesus as a wicked man. It's terrible. There's actually people who counted Jesus as a wicked man, and they thought He was worthy of death. But the people who were actually open to the Word of God, the prophecies that God had given, the ones that were walking with Him, they recognized Him, and they beheld that glory. Verse 15, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, before He was before me. You know, Jesus was actually born here on this earth after John, but John recognized that Jesus was from eternity past. Jesus didn't have a beginning. He was God. In Matthew chapter 17, we have the story of the transfiguration. There again, the glory of God came down and He glorified Jesus. Verse 5 says, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Hear Jesus. Still the call is going out to all of us this morning. Hear ye Him. In Mark chapter 4, we have the parable of the sower. Maybe you just want to turn to it. I think when we talk about the voice of God, the Word of God, it's very important for us to think of this parable and ask ourselves the question, What is the soil of our heart like? What is it like? How many of you here ever have planted something? Planted a seed. Planted a seed, yeah. When you plant a seed, you normally look for a certain kind of soil, right? You don't just haphazardly throw out a seed anywhere and expect for it to grow. Because you know the chances of it growing is unlikely. There has to be a certain type of seed, a certain type of soil. And even in our own life, for the Word of God to be bearing fruit in our life, there needs to be a certain type of soil. In this parable, we have an example of seeds that bear nothing. They never come to actually bear any fruit. And there's some that bear fruits in different amounts. It says some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. I ask you this question this morning. What is coming out of your life? What's coming out of my life? Am I only bearing 30-fold and I'm content with that? I think that's good enough. It's just enough that there's fruit there, but I don't have to worry about digging in deeper in the Word of God. Are we content with that? Or are we seeking to cultivate the soil of our heart so that there's more fruit possible? Let us read the explanation here in verse 13 is where I'll start reading. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, which when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. There's lots of people's hearts who are that way. They hear the word of God and there's something that, oh yeah, that would be the will of God. But they have a relationship with the enemy, with the devil, where the devil can just come in and he can just pluck that thought right out of there, or he can cover it with other thoughts, and they can go on their life without thinking about the Word of God anymore. A couple weeks ago, a lot of you went up to New York City and you were proclaiming the Word of God to people. Most of the people that you met would come into this category. They hear the Word of God, but they walk on down the street and they're completely unaffected because it's gone. Verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And I would say this one and the next one can be the condition of somebody's complete heart and soul. But I also see a warning in here that it can be for different parts of our lives. How many of you ever been somewhere, you heard the preaching of God, or you read something in the Word of God, and God pricked in your heart that here's an area where you need to change in, and you immediately, oh yes, I want to receive that. But after a couple of weeks, you kind of, I think there can be areas in our hearts that are that way. Can also be someone who does get converted, their sins are washed away, But when affliction and persecution arises, it's not worth it. They get offended. Their mind goes in wrong ways, and then they just walk away. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. I think that's also a warning for us who are converted. We can hear the word of God in a certain area of our life, and we can start moving forward in that. But then other things choke it out. Cares of this world. And here, I mean, I don't know that the cares of this world are necessarily even something bad in itself. But because of what it does in our life, it is something bad. We have to be careful with that. We have to have our hearts at a place where we can hear the word of God, and it actually comes in and it changes us, and we're continually walking with him, and we're moving forward. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. That's encouragement that I would like for all of us to get this morning, that we receive the word of God with joyfulness, with gladness. We put our heart in it, and we're walking with him day by day. John chapter 15, it talks about the vine. When we are connected to God, then he's bringing life into us. He's making us alive, and out of that comes fruit. We cannot bear any fruit of ourselves. Here it is, my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Where are you at this morning on hearing the word of God? Are you taking time to hear the word of God? Are you receiving it gladly? Or do you hear the word of God grudgingly? Kind of have to, so I'll obey. The word of God is one of the most precious gifts that he has given us. Imagine if we wouldn't have the word of God. Imagine if the Holy Spirit wouldn't be speaking things into our life. You know, when we read the word of God, this Holy Spirit is working in us and speaking to us. Even this morning as I was preaching, I trust that God was working in your heart, going way beyond even the words that I was speaking, but God was working in your heart. Open yourself up to that. Walk in it. And may God bless you all for being here this morning.